Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. Today's a tough day. It's tough, I was going to say for many, but it's tough in some ways for all of us, I would hope to imagine. And that's an understatement, I would hope to imagine. Not just 9/11 24 years ago, but the death of conservative Charlie Kirk yesterday. I think, though, about when my heart goes out to a good friend, a colleague for a long time. He lost his son in the war following 9/11. And I know that he thinks back to this day, 24 years ago, where Andrew answered a call to service, and he paid the ultimate price. That's why it's tough for so many. Because some have made great sacrifices. Others recognize those sacrifices, and there's probably still more sacrifices to be made. I think there's a couple of phrases that have come out from 9/11. More than just a tragedy, it was an attack on America. It was an attack on our values and our system of life and justice. Two phrases: never forget, and let's roll. We do that today. Troy Downing, Blake Furman from the Navigation Network on Veterans Navigation Network today on Voices of Montana. It's been disturbing, and there are things that we'll talk about and focus on as well. 24 years since 9/11. And I think we do forget, and that is not part of our makeup because of this tragedy. We are not going to forget, and we are going to roll. Troy Downing is with us, Montana's congressman, and Congressman Downing, thank you so much for being here. Thanks for your public service, and also thank you because you share a lot of feelings, I'm sure, about today. After 9/11, you enlisted to go and serve your country. Thank you for that service. Tell me how you are, and give me some thoughts about where we're at.
You know, I'm doing fine, and you know, thank you for allowing us on again. Obviously, there's a lot to ponder going on right now in this mm-hmm. country, and you know, this is the 24th anniversary of the September 11th attacks, and not to make it about me or dwell about it, but as you know, and a lot of your listeners know, that was a big wake up call for me after those attacks, because that started my military career. You know, I was standing there when I first found out about it, and this country's been good to me after we were attacked. I had the sadness, I had the anger, the sense of violation, all those things that we all felt, but I had this other thing well up in me that, you know, this country's been so good to me, what have I done to deserve it? And I didn't really have a good answer. So, you know, long story short, ended up going into a recruiter's office, and at the ripe age of 34 years old, non-prior military, went into a combat search and rescue squadron, you know, ended up doing 8 years in the military, a couple of tours to Afghanistan doing combat search and rescue. Big life change. And, you know, so many things that I think about along those lines. I think of all of the servicemen and women who answered the call, who showed up to defend this nation. And, you know, whether you thought it was something, you know, worth, you know, going to war for or not, it doesn't matter. These people all answered the call of their nation. They knew there was something bigger than themselves. They all signed at the dotted line. They all went because their country called them. And I think of, you know, what we actually accomplished there, and I do believe we accomplished a lot. And then I go to, you know, we talked about it not too long ago, about the anniversary of that, you know, tragic withdrawal in Afghanistan that puts, you know, a really unfortunate bookend on that whole thing. But we've already talked about that. What I want to talk about is something else, especially with everything that we've seen happening in this country, you know, this last couple of years. You know, September 11th, 2001 was obviously a tragic day and obviously a wake-up call for a lot of us. But one of the things, you know, I'll say that came out in a positive on that was September 12th. And on September 12th, we came together as a nation. We all were bound by that commonality of being Americans. You know, the United States of America was under attack. And that next day, it didn't matter if you were a Republican or a Democrat, rich or poor, short or tall, it didn't matter. We were all bound with what we had in common. And that feeling of patriotism, of belonging, of understanding that we do live on the greatest country that, you know, God has ever graced this planet with, and that we all stood shoulder to shoulder in unison in defiance of that. We need to find a way to get back there. You know, we can have our differences. We can have our political differences, our, you know, philosophical differences, you know, or our opinion differences. And we need to be able to debate those respectfully and not demonize anyone else because they don't subscribe to what you believe in, but actually use, you know, the power of persuasion and your convictions and what you believe to try to persuade. And I think we've gotten away from that. We've forgotten that we do have this commonality, that we're all human beings, we're all like children of God, and we're all members of the same country. And I think that we really need to find a way to get back to that without further tragedy.
And it's hard to do that. I mean, we ask, what of America, right? And someone, you know, it's kind of a flowery term, but what is the soul of America? You know, what are our values? What keeps us together? And then what separates us? You know, as you had discussed there, we had come together. And it felt like it was a turning moment in our politics, too, and in our country, to feel that united. But since then, we've seen a lot of division for a lot of reasons. And then this assassination of Charlie Kirk yesterday.
Yeah, and that one, obviously, is a horrible escalation of what we've been seeing, you know, in the recent, you know, public discourse regarding politics. Obviously, we saw the assassination attempt of President Trump, you know, going back to, I think it was 2017, we saw the shooter on the congressional baseball practice that, you know, obviously shot Leader Scalise, amongst others. We see this escalating. And it really is concerning. But, you know, to speak specifically about Charlie Kirk, and I think this is germane to the conversation that we just had, is, you know, Charlie Kirk was not, you know, a crazy guy screaming from the top of the mountain. He actually tried to use the power of persuasion and debate to talk about issues that he felt strongly about. And one thing that I'll say that I'll commend him on is he always handed the microphone to the other side.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, what is your opinion? And let me respond to that. And he would respond to it. And he would allow them to respond to what he said. That's exactly how this should be. You know, it wasn't a demonization. It was a conversation. And, you know, I think what happened, and I think a lot of folks were faced with truths that didn't quite matched to how their worldview wanted to describe their lives or their, you know, how they saw the world. They didn't want that conflict. And I think it was very uncomfortable for a lot of people. I think it still is uncomfortable for a lot of people. It's always hard to be challenged on how you perceive yourself or the world. But he was really good at, you know, throwing, you know, truth out there and saying, here's the truth. Does this agree with your worldview? And, you know, talk about, you know, life imitating art. You know, I kind of think of this in the sense of, loosely in the sense of the book Lord of the Flies. You know, you had Piggy out there who was the voice of reason trying to keep everything calm as the boys on the island had gone tribal. And they just didn't want to deal with that. So essentially, they killed Piggy. And I think we have a very similar thing here. That voice of reason, that respectful debate was too hard for some people to tolerate, that, you know, they took out somebody who devoted his life to talking about what he believed in and was killed for it. And I think that we need to really look at what's going on in this country that can create, you know, that kind of reaction to what should be a civil exchange of ideas.
Well put. Charlie Kirk is co-founder of Turning Point USA and fatally shot yesterday. He was speaking at Utah Valley University in Orem, Utah. This was part of his event that, as you noted, Troy, the American Comeback Tour and then the Prove Me Wrong table. And I had been following that for several years. And you described it exact. And what is notable about it is Charlie, throughout those years, got more and more dedicated to it, more and more, you know, intelligent about it as well. And there was a large youth following behind this as well. So I you know, we're going to
He armed so many young Americans with truth and a different way of thinking. He made it so that you could have ideas that were conservative. You weren't attacked for it, and you had, you know, truthful talking points to defend where you were and have these debates. And I got to tell you, I've known Charlie for a long time, since he was very young and just starting out.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't know, 5 years ago when he started doing his podcast, he actually broadcast one from my house in Montana. And I've watched that, and I'm going to tell you what really hits me in the chest is he was very dedicated. He was a man of a very strong faith and unashamed of that, which I really appreciate. And then as he started mature and got married, started having kids, he's got two beautiful daughters. And I think about now, you know, those daughters growing up without a dad. I think about that young lady who has lost her husband. I think about how sad that is, as he was really, you know, on a path to do great things by giving a voice to people who really didn't have a voice, you know, in our schools, on our college campuses, and arming them with the power of debate and with truth. And it just, it makes me so sad. I do take some comfort knowing that he was a man of strong faith. I do, you know, fully believe that he is with our Creator right now and that there was a reason for this, but I still, you know, I pray for his family, for his daughters and his widow now, because this is just absolutely tragic.
Montana Congressman Troy Downing is with us here. We'll have Blake Furman join us a little bit later on. He's with the Veterans Navigation Network, and we'll talk about, you know, post 9/11, our military and what things have, you know, and of course, this changes the tone of our discussion today. Congressman Troy Downing again, and Congressman, I can't say enough. I appreciate the public service, especially in the military, especially answering that call, and then this new call to service in that regard. This is no doubt political violence, and who or what is behind it, we need to find that out. But whenever we get there, what do? We often talk about lowering the temperature in our discourse, but you know, what kind of actions are behind those words?
Well, I think we need to, on both sides, we need to hold, you know, our own accountable.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, being strongly convicted in your thoughts and your ideas and debating those, you know, strongly is fair game. But once you start to remove the humanity from it, I think we should all call people out on that. When you start to say things like this person should be, you know, thrown off a bridge, or this person should be, you know, injured, hurt, killed, kidnapped, whatever, anything worse. I mean, we need to police our own on making sure that that rhetoric doesn't go unchecked, because we need to get back to the point where we can strongly and even heatedly debate our ideas and stick, you know, strong to our principles without dehumanizing the other side. Because at the end of the day, we are humans and we have that common bound. Like I mentioned in the earlier part about September 11th, you know, we're all humans. You know, we're all, you know, sons and daughters of God. We're all Americans. Let's find, you know, that commonality and not use that, you know, divisive, inflammatory rhetoric that makes people less than human. Because at the end of the day, you know, it's not helpful. I mean, the other thing, and I'm not sure what the solution is here, but in the modern age, we get so much of our information from devices.
Yeah.
You know, we get it from social media. We get it from, you know, Instagram, from, you know, all these TikTok, wherever you get it from. And a lot of these things understand that they have an existential need to keep eyeballs on their site. They need to keep people using it because they sell advertising. And I think they also know that the more angry they make somebody, the more likely they are to stay on these. And I think there's algorithms that really specifically target messaging on, you know, either side, whatever part of any argument you are, to keep you angered and keep you demonizing the other side. And I think that's part of the problem. I'm not sure what the solution is, but I think the first part of that is identifying that is a problem. And really, as a people, you know, reject that, you know, violent, you know, the ad hominem violent, you know, dehumanization that we see in public discourse.
You know, and we have institutions, right? And as a collective, we can guide those institutions. So that's one thing. And then the other thing I think you're hitting on too is individually. Individually, we all have to respond in this too. So I appreciate that.
When you see something like that, don't amplify it. Don't share it. Don't blast it. I mean, and you don't need to be, it doesn't need to be a public argument. You know, go to the person independently, you know, as a, you know, private message, or if you know that person, call them and just say, hey, this is not helpful. I agree with you on, you know, issue A. We need to fight strongly on issue A, but let's not throw stuff out there that somebody should be hit by a car because they don't believe in issue A.
Troy, thanks for spending that time talking about this. This is on our mind here, too. I know you've got to go in 3 minutes, and I just want to give you an opportunity to give us an update. And it can be on 9/11 today, but you've been super busy, and you just wrapped up you know, a lot of trips in Montana, too. What's on the top of your plate as Congressman Troy Downing?
Well, obviously, yesterday was a very different day. It didn't go how any of us expected. Even, you know, on the floor last night, Speaker Johnson had a moment of silence for the passing of Charlie Kirk. There was a very different feeling out there. And hopefully, in not a disrespectful way, I'm just going to move on from there. You know, we're trying to, you know, get through our spending bills. We've got until the end of the month. We just passed an appropriations bill this week. We're going to have, you know, continue to work on our spending bills throughout the end of the month. It doesn't look like all 12 appropriations bills are going to make it through on time, so there will likely be some form of a CR, and my hope is that if that's a necessary tool to get back to regular order, but it's a very short one, but that's what's being discussed right now.
Is there a strong feeling of reducing spending? Is that getting stronger in Congress to live within our means?
Yeah, that is. And I will tell you that as much as we would all hate to do any kind of a CR, the good thing about a CR, especially a clean CR, is that it doesn't increase spending. And then we can start working on those spending reductions. But I think, you know, there's a lot of talk about another rescission package. There's talk about another reconciliation bill to start addressing some of the things that we didn't do in the first ones of those that we passed this Congress. So we have another bite at the apple, and it's not unprecedented. When the Democrats had control, they did multiple reconciliation bills as well. And I think there is an appetite to make sure that we get to the point as a nation where we can start living within our means and make sure that we're not spending our grandkids' prosperity. So there is a lot of energy on that, especially in our conference here on the Republican side.
Montana Congressman Troy Downing. Again, Troy, thanks for your service in the United States Air Force. Thanks for your public service here as well. I know it's a tough day, but it's also a day we can bond too. So I'm it's more than just thoughts and prayers, but my hope is that that overtakes the Capitol today and beyond.
I appreciate you indulging us in talking about this. I think there's some pretty, you know, heavy topics, and we need to have some introspection on really what our national response is to start dealing with this. I mean, it's not a Republican or a Democrat response. What's our national response to start pulling some of this back and turning some of this temperature down?
Yeah, want to contact Troy. It's downing.house.gov. Look it up. He's very available, and we'll respond. Congressman, thank you so much. And look at... You be well, too. I'm sure this has probably put a lot of people on alert.
Yes, it has. And that is something there is a buzz here. I mean, it's not just members of Congress, but obviously their spouses are concerned. Like, how safe are we? What do we need to do? And, you know, we're constantly dealing with this rhetoric of we need more in-person, you know, town halls. We need this, that. And the spouses, of course, you know, nobody wants to, you know, relive the tragedy that we saw yesterday. And so there is a lot of concern and talk about that in Congress right now.
Thanks Troy. Tom. Appreciate that.
All right.
Whatever it was, hit the north side of the building. Fire vented from at least one floor. Heavy smoke showing over the front and on the top of the building. Approximately the 90-something floor, okay?
This is audio from the New York Fire Department, the Manhattan District. And this was right at 9/11, 24 years ago. And And you can hear, I mean, there's obviously a lot of chaos here. And never forget that these are some of the last words spoken by these first responders. 3,000, almost 3,000 in this attack killed. And that conflict exists today, very much. It's a tough day. Thank you guys for joining us here. Blake Furman joins us now. Tom Schultz alongside. It's from Montana, for Montana, Voices of Montana. Blake is the founder and executive director of the Veterans Navigation Network. And what a great organization, Blake. When you started this, you saw a need, and it's really grown into a place that provides genuine help for veterans. I know we've got other things here on our plate today to talk about. I want to welcome you. But also thank you. You served as an Army Ranger for 4 years, 3 deployments to Afghanistan, parachuter. You've got a lot of firsthand experience there too. Thank you again and welcome. You know, what's the day like for you, Blake?
Yeah, you know, really started off with the memorial over at City College here in Billings, and just taking time to remember, you know, what you just played audio of, but also our first responders and our service members who not only served on that day and many lost their lives, but also continue to serve for the next 2 decades plus of conflicts in the Middle East and across the globe, frankly.
And I can ask you this question because you've seen it, you've felt it yourself individually. What's the weight of this on our servicemen and women?
I mean, I think it's different for everybody, but I mean, for myself, you know, I was in elementary school when 9/11 happened, and just felt that calling growing through high school, going through the rest of my life to serve. And, you know, even with the fractured back, even with losing some of my dearest friends in combat, I wouldn't change it for the world. I mean, that calling to serve, it comes with a price, and it comes with a weight. And I think that's the same for our first responders, just that happening in our own country. And now we see things like what happened with Charlie Kirk yesterday, adding to that weight. And, I mean, we're fighting for ideals, for freedom, for people to be able to share their voice. And now we're seeing those ideals attacked here on our soil again. And unfortunately, probably from fellow Americans, which is just a travesty.
Yeah, and that is something that we have to respond about. I thought it was quite a testament, as you noted. You wouldn't change things. You would do it all over again. Injured, lost colleagues, you know, deployments to Afghanistan, but yet you would still do it again, Blake. Can you tell me why?
I think it's not only made me who I am today, but it's also given me the opportunity to know some of the best people our country has to offer. I mean, our military service members sign that dotted line fully knowing that they may lose their lives to our conflicts overseas, and that the job is inherently dangerous, and yet they still sign it. And because of that, I mean, you're working with 18, 19, 20-year-olds that already have a will. I mean, many 40, 50-year-olds don't have a will. Mm. And these 19-year-old people who couldn't even go to the bar and buy a bottle of alcohol, couldn't go buy a handgun, are defending our country. And that causes you to grow up incredibly fast and become just, I think, for the most part, incredible people. And so getting to know those people, getting to experience more in those 4 years than most people experience in their lives.
Two phrases. Let's honor them, never forget, and let's roll. Let's move forward. Welcome back here from Montana, for Montana, Voices of Montana. We are talking, of course, about this 9/11 event, but it's the 24th anniversary of it, and there's been a lot of changes in our country since then, some good, some very negative. Some of the negative I think we've seen, maybe not as a result of 9/11, but certainly as a result of either individual or institutional misleading. A gunman shot down conservative Charlie Kirk, who had a rather large youth following, and as we had talked earlier, such a defender of free speech. This was a definitely political violence, and we'll hopefully need to get to the bottom of this. And as we talk about that here today, Blake Furman again back with us here. Blake, a veteran, an Army Ranger, served in Afghanistan. And then when he came home, founded the Veterans Navigation Network as he found himself experiencing firsthand some of these challenges transitioning out of the military. And I know we're honoring a lot of our first responders here as well, Blake, and thank you for being here. But nearly 3 million U.S. service members have been deployed since 9/11. And about 7,000 U.S. troops have been killed in post-9/11 conflicts, 53,000 wounded. And here's another thing, as we're talking about events today, there are still decades away, more victims remains continue to be identified. So there is still not closure for some, even 24 years later. I find that, disheartening at times too. Your organization, Blake, and again, thank you for being here. Your organization was a walking it out kind of thing, right? Talk about how that has helped and relate it to maybe how we can find some mental comfort in 24 years ago and then yesterday with this political violence. How about that? Okay.
Well, founding Veterans Navigation Network was really out of my own story, transitioning back to the civilian world and trying to go to college, going to just assimilate back into civilian life was really hard for me. And not to mention, it took me a lot of effort to connect with my benefits, like the VA disability. I fractured my back in the Army. It took me 3 years to get that through to the VA. So I ended up talking to a Vietnam vet, and he had actually experienced a similar challenge. And I just thought, boy, if nothing's changed in 50 years, we got to do something about it. And so that's really how VNN started. And through that, we've gotten to work with a ton of veterans, over 2,000 veterans since we founded in 2019. And we've gotten to see people in all walks of life. We've gotten to see all different fallout, not only from Vietnam era vets, but especially from global war and terror veterans. And especially, thinking of like the withdrawal from Afghanistan and how that unfolded. There's been these ups and downs for our veterans, and just working with them as fellow vets has been incredibly impactful. And, I think that would be my message of veteran or non-veteran first responders, just find people who are like-minded to you and connect with them. Because we can't do it alone. We're not made to be antisocial. We're social creatures, yeah. And we just have to remember that we're in this together, whether we like it or not.
Got a lot of good people working for you too, and so I appreciate that. VeteransNavigation.org to access that or learn more or actually become a part of it, volunteer in some places as well. We've got lots to talk about, and I'm probably doing open phones tomorrow on this, but Nancy in Roundup wants to join us. And Nancy, thank you for your call today. I'm sure you have some remembrances about 9/11 and thoughts about, what of America. Good morning, ma'am.
Well, good morning. Thank you so much, Tom, for taking my phone call, and God bless our veterans. Remembering 9/11, yes. But let's not forget about the other 9/11, Benghazi, where our ambassador to Libya, Christopher Stevens, was brutally tortured by the Libyans and also murdered, and the loss of 4 Navy SEALs. And I want to say that their deaths were they were somewhat related to what Charlie Kirk was about. I believe his assassination was because he spoke against the cancel culture and their idea of destroying the idea of America, what we are as a country. And it was a brutal assassination, and I am heartbroken and very emotional right now.
Yeah.
And I just want to say that he did not die in vain. And I'm going to say one more thing. I don't believe that the assassin of Charlie Kirk worked alone. He was a marksman, obviously. He knew guns, and he hit his target, and Charlie died instantaneously. I believe that his escape route was well planned. There's somebody behind this assassination. And one way that we can control this is if our government would take on people like George Soros, who defund the police and other radical groups that are anti-American. this would help in so many ways, because we can't stop people from their rhetoric of hatred against the United States or against whites or any colors in our nation. But we can, because of our First Amendment, but we could help ourselves if we got rid of these globalists who want to destroy our country. And thank you, Tom, so much, and God bless America.
All right, Nancy, thank you for that, and I appreciate that. And Blake, I know there's no question there, but just a comment about law and order. I think we've seen that in our country, just be almost brushed aside, and we are getting too used to some of these things. People are going to have a lot of questions today, right? And I guess, you probably have them, but we kind of look to you at times, Blake, for answers on these things, because you have walked through some of this. Give me, if you would, please, what of America? Okay. I don't like to say the soul of America, but it's a question that people understand. It reflects our values and our culture and what we want to stand for and what we want to preserve. Blake, can I ask you, what of America after this?
Yeah. You know, I think we can't let these tragedies, just like 9/11, it wasn't the tragedy that came and defined our country. It was what we did after that. And even as a kid, I could remember how unified America was, in the following days. And just everybody was, just wanting answers and wanting to come together and support each other, in New York, where the towers fell. I mean, you had everybody trying to help each other. And I think that is the soul of America. And, sometimes we stray from that. And, like yesterday, but we have to come back to that. We have to come back to that idea of service, not just in the military, but idea of serving one another and loving one another. Yeah. It's that, to me, is the soul of America. And just what that is, what we've got to get back to.
Thank you for that. I noted too that there are still victims and the families of victims who do not have closure on this. And then you look at Montana and our share of veteran population, 1 in 10 Montanan is a veteran. So that's almost 100,000 statewide. There are high rates of PTSD and it's Suicide Prevention Awareness Month. And I know you've got some programs to talk about as well. Talk about the progress made then. I guess I try to turn things positively here too. You're walking this out, created the Veterans Navigation Network. Talk about the progress that is being made regarding mental health and our military.
Yeah. Well, I wish it was more positive than it is. I mean, you mentioned the 7,000 service members who died defending our country post 9/11, but we've actually had 30,000 die since that time who've ended up taking their own lives from some of that fallout, from some of the PTSD, from survivor's guilt, traumatic brain injuries, things like that. And so right now, Montana is number one in veteran suicide in the country. And, we're talking 10% of our population that could be impacting directly, but then indirectly, every single suicide is potentially affecting 135 other people in those communities. And you look at some communities in Montana, that's the entire town. It might be that town and the surrounding farmland. And thankfully, as a country, we have anybody can call 988 as a resource. But frankly, it's not enough. We've got to do more. And that's why Veterans Navigation Network is launching suicide prevention training that's open to anybody. It's really geared towards veterans, learning more about veteran culture, learning about ways and resources for veterans across the state of Montana, not just in Billings where we're physically located. But we as a community have to learn how to identify those signs of risk and do something about it, not just know that somebody's not having a good day, but then do something with it. And that's what the training is really all about.
How's that program going to work? Is it weekly training, monthly training? How do people get involved and walk that one out?
Yeah, so they can go to our website, veteransnavigation.org/navigator, and that is where the training's housed. And it's actually in partnership with PsychArmor, which is a nationally known training. There's a civilian track that anybody can take that wants to know more about military culture, but then also some suicide prevention tools that they can use for civilians or veterans alike. And then there's a veteran track where veterans can get those same suicide prevention skills, but also learn how to tell their story when they're talking to fellow veterans. And then lastly, there's a provider track where medical behavioral health providers can actually get continuing medical education credits for taking the training, up to 2.75 credits. And they just learn how to have those conversations with veterans around lethal means, around addiction and things like that, where, you know, unfortunately it is more prevalent in the veteran community because of the trauma that we've seen, you know, since 9/11.
Well, and training, I mean, I would encourage people in this because training is effective. Training, you know, leads to saved lives, too. And so, again, veteransnavigation.org for more information and slash navigation, and you'll run into that. So very much encouraging that. Just a little more here about how our veterans are feeling today, yourself, but how they reach out to you. I mean, you guys are in touch with them in a lot of ways. Noted the number in Montana, higher rates of PTSD, suicide. I mean, that's a gut punch that we should be doing something about. And I noted Commander Ryan Zinke, our Western District Congressman, had talked about, you know, the Charlie Kirk assassination and his defense of this country. And lawlessness that has been accepted, I think, in my mind, in some ways. Are you talking with veterans? They must be a little bit, well, emotional, but maybe even angry over this because they have served, and I hear them say this is not the country they served for, so to speak. Are they reaching out to you?
Yeah, I think it's more around this idea of, you know, a lot of us did fight for that freedom of speech, that freedom to be able to, you know, say what you want and not have to fear, you know, something like what happened to Charlie yesterday. And so, I know a lot of veterans are upset about that. I think we as a country should be upset about that. And I really like what Congressman Downing had said about just policing ourselves, you know, leaning one side or the other. Regardless, if you're hearing somebody from your side of the aisle put out that violent rhetoric, then stop it. And I think doing that one-on-one and not just, like, sharing a message like he mentioned on Facebook or, you know, it, like, call him out and talk to him personally, privately, respectfully, and that's how we can start having this public discourse that isn't violent anymore.
Yeah. Well, thank you for leading the way, leading out in a lot of ways too, Blake. It's I think sometimes you might be underappreciated, you know, because I think you've had a major impact on our veterans population in the state of Montana and beyond. So I want to thank you for that, and thank you for sharing some thoughts today, Blake. Anything else? Any final thoughts? And anything going on? You talked about the suicide prevention training. Anything here in the next 40 seconds?
Yeah, I think just remembering that there's a lot of veterans out there that are succeeding and finding, you know, that positive spin on this that you mentioned earlier, not necessarily spin, but just there are a lot of positive stories out there. And while, yes, we're number one for veteran suicide, we also are number one for veterans just doing amazing things in our state. And we just can't forget that, too, when we're having these tough conversations.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks again, Blake. I look forward to chatting with you down the road, and give everybody a special handshake or hug for us, okay, today?
Yeah. Thanks, Tom. Right. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Blake. Appreciate that. Blake Furman, and late notice, too, coming on, so very much appreciate that. One more time, veteransnavigation.org. Don't hesitate. Just look. Just walk it out yourself. This is the heartbeat of our nation, right? And the soul of America is not found in Washington, D.C., or headlines there, or partisan battles, but you are the soul of America. You are the strength of your family. You are the courage of your community. And you are the faith of your community and your family and all. So let's collectively guide our institutions. Let's individually accept the responsibility.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast. And join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.